Hey, Shalom Aleichem. Okay, so Grama is the big question of the day. So Grama, we're actually going to take a little bit slower than most sugyos. We kind of really, like, zip through, and I sort of just assume you guys have like seen all the Gemaras and stuff. But on Grama, we're going to slow down a little bit because Grama is really hard, and I have trouble with Grama. So you know, we're going to take it slow, and hopefully we'll understand it by the end.
We also have lots of trouble with Grama.
It's very confusing. It's very, very confusing. It's just like, and the big, one of the things that just really sets it apart is conceptually very complex. And then you, every time you think you've come up with like a clear, like defining line, Hagdara, then the Gemara, then you come up with another Gemara and you're like, the Gemara's like, oh no, but that's not Grama. Or that is Grama. And you're like, what? And then you try to like, then you start again, and then you get to another one. So we're sort of going to lay it all down and in this year, and then we'll try to get into more concrete definitions next year. Okay. So the first Gemara we have to deal with is the Gemara on Daf Kuf Chaf. Okay? The Gemara on Daf Kuf Chaf said, you can, or the Mishnah really, let's just start off from the Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, stop here. Right. Okay, so you know, let's just start actually with, I don't know what that's doing. Okay, yeah, let's just start with the Gemara. The Gemara says, right, Reb Shimon Benanas tells us, person or shalagdiya gabe shida tevo migdal, sha'achaz baha'or. So you have a cabinet, all right, it's on fire, and you want to do is you want to put a sort of a fire blanket on it. A new fresh leather hide is not really flammable, so it's work as a fire blanket. Okay, but that's thing number one. That's point number one. Okay, point number one is relatively straightforward. There's a fire. You can put a fire blanket on something to protect something that's not on fire yet. Right? So far, so good. Okay. So, right? So far, so good, right? You could put a fire blanket to protect something that's not on fire at all. And in that case, it seems like pretty straightforward. Everyone agrees that that's okay, right? Now, why should that be okay?
Good question. It's a great question. Shot sounded like a psikresha de ronechole. Like,
Okay, so you're saying already by the or of the gdi?
Yeah. What does the mipneshu mecharech mean exactly?
It means that like it gets singed, but it won't actually catch on fire. It's like a fire. It's like a those like big wool, those like fire blankets. So the fire blanket will it'll get singed, but it won't catch fire, so it's okay, and it will protect the rest of the migdal from getting caught on fire. So it doesn't get burned.
I take back my secret.
Okay. That's an interesting idea, right? You're basically saying it's not really Grama. It's like, maybe secret is a relevant concept here. We'll actually come back to that because I think that is an important factor. Right? But why should, right? You're putting a fire blanket on it. Nothing, it's just not going to catch fire, right? Why should that be okay?
Not doing anything to the fire.
Right. You're not doing anything to the fire. And even more, right? Not only what do you mean by not doing anything to the fire? Meaning your action's not doing anything to the fire? Or at the end of the day, you haven't done anything to the fire?
I think your action's not doing anything to the fire.
Okay. And what about the end of the day?
Maybe at the end of the day, you're also not doing anything. The fire's, doing something to itself.
Okay, right. Right. So I think it's already... Right, just in that case already, right? So we're saying, on the one hand, like I didn't touch the fire, I didn't do anything to the fire. The other hand, another factor is maybe nothing happened at all, right? Because there, I prevented the fire from spreading. The fire didn't spread, right? Another way for saying the fire was prevented from spreading and didn't spread is, and therefore nothing happened. Oh, right. That's one way to take it. It's just in that case here, there's this area, it might get burnt, and it didn't get burnt. Everyone claps their hands, everyone's happy, right? and nothing bad happened. And at the end of the day, you could just argue nothing happened. Okay?
But you're literally smothering it here.
No, you're not smothering it.
You're putting something on it that smothers it.
No, because it's the part that's not on fire yet.
Where does it say that in the Mishnah?
It doesn't actually say that in the Mishnah, but that's how everyone understands it. I think it's when I say it explicitly.
The Gemara quotes a case of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav.
Okay, yes. Rav Yehuda Amar Rav is like much more difficult, correct? Right? The way everyone understands this Mishnah, you're right, it doesn't actually explicitly say that. I mean, it happens to be, by the way, everyone points out, even the Gemara points out, that that Rabbi Yehuda, that Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, his case is not a case of Gram Kiboy even. Right? Imar d'amar Rabbi Shimon ben Anas mipnei shehu mecharich, Gram Kiboy miyamar. Says, oh, you didn't do anything, you prevented it from spreading, right? Who says that he thinks that that Gram Kiboy is okay? But you're absolutely right. It doesn't actually say that explicitly in the Mishnah. Did I bring Rashi here? I don't know if I brought all the Rashi. I don't even have. Sorry, to shoot here. Shoot. You know what? Should I pull up Rashi? I'm going to pull up Rashi for a second just to like prove the point. But it happens to be, if you're putting it on the non-fired part. Rashi, Shabbat, Kuf, Chaf.
So the cases where you're putting this ripe skin on like a place that you don't want the fire to spread?
Yes, correct. You're putting a fire blanket over the part of the thing that's not on fire.
Doesn't the Lashon sound exactly the opposite? It says like Shachaz Ba'ur.
Yeah, meaning the let's say the table's on fire. Yeah, I'll just see if I can get you Rashi and stuff. Where did it go? Yeah. No, wrong with that. Go previous. There we go. Okay, the way Rashi is meduyak, although it's not so clear. It's definitely this way. Trust me on that one. But you're right. It's not as explicit as I always assumed it was. I guess I learned the Mishnayos like with the Mefarshim, so I just sort of always assume, understood that way. Mipnei shehu mecharech min ha'or ve'ino nisraf u'mitokach hu magen al hateva. Right, the stuff, it won't burn, and basically the implication is when the fire gets to it will protect the teva from burning. You're not
I think the way you would read it is you would say that the Mishnah Lashon says that you're putting it on the teva and you're not putting it on the fire.
Right. Although then, I don't think that's such a proof though. I mean, I think Rashi is clearly assuming that it's not, you're not putting it on the fire because that would, even if it's flammable, that would work, right? Your standard, like you can smother it with like a cotton blanket if you just do it fast enough. But you're right. I mean, he's right. It's like not as explicit. I just assumed. You're going to have to trust me on this one. I guess I should have noticed that. It's not as explicit. If you look at all the Mepharshim on the Mishnah also, it says that, but you're right. What I kind of need? I need like art scroll on this just to prove that. We have like art scroll on it? They have like the Chavrita or something? No. All right. Anyway, you're going to have to take this one on faith. So you're putting it only on the part of the object that's not on fire. Okay? So that's, I think, right? That's easier to understand. You haven't done anything. There's the fire. Here's where you're putting the blanket. And by putting the blanket over here, you're preventing the fire from spreading past, let's say the blanket reaches up to here, so it just won't spread. Right? So at the end of the day, you can see two things. One is you didn't do anything to the fire. Or two is, right, nothing happened. No kiboy happened even. Right? And the Gemara basically says that, I think, because the Gemara says, okay, Rav Shimon ben Anas just said that you could stop the fire from spreading. He didn't say you could put it out, right? No kiboy happened because you never put out the fire. The fire would have spread X far. right? You just avoided, you know, you prevented it from spreading. For example, if I have, let's say, two markers, right? And one of them's on fire. The blue one's on, okay. The red one is on fire. And it is going, right? And it's going to, you know, it's going to get the green one, the red one, green one. Sorry, this one, right? And what I do is I go like this, right? So this one's on fire and this one is over here now. Like, so everyone would agree that that's not mechabe. So same thing here, right? It was over here. It would have caught on fire, but I moved it. So now it's not going to catch on fire. That's not mechabe. Okay? So that's been Rav Shimon ben Anas' basic, sounds like basic point, at least according to the Gemara also. That's the pashat. You just removed it from the area of danger. Okay. Why is that a little bit of a chiddush though?
We have the lashon of lo yas emalacha, maybe, and so maybe it's our responsibility for malachas not to happen.
Okay, but here we're arguing that no malacha happened. Is there like a parallel case where we sort of do say taking something away from getting burnt is a problem?
Your house.
You probably can't take like the oil away or like take some of the wax away of a candle. Yeah. I would guess.
Right. Very good. Right. In the case of in pizza, we say that, oh, if you take the oil out of the oil candle, so that is not grama, that's actually your chayiv, right? Let's just pick that up just because it's already kind of throws us on our messes with our heads. Where was that? The Gemara in pizza. Bukama, that's on Hedrin.
Ari says every week. Ari says every Friday night davening, so he knows it.
Oh, right. Ula ifad mei Rabbi Yehuda. Kam shamei zakaf lashraga. Ezrei Rabbi Yehuda le'ula. Anosin shemen b'ner chayiv mishum mavir. If you add oil to an oil candle, you're chayiv because of mavir. Amistapik mimenu chayiv mishum mechabe. And if you take it out, then you're chayiv on mechabe. Right? Amalai lava data. You're totally right. I just didn't notice him doing that. Oops. Okay? So what does the guy do? The guy tilts it so that the oil flows away from the wick and it goes out. Okay? So there, right, and same thing we said, Mistapik menu, chayiv mishum mechabe, and the whole the whole thing we say Friday night about, okay, if you have the two different kalim and they're connected or they're not connected and they're dripping, right, then if you take from the second one, which is dripping into the first one, that's also a problem. Right? So you have an oil lamp, and if you take away some of the oil, which will eventually be burnt, that's not grama, right? But here you have this piece of wood and part of it is burning, right? So, you know, the rest of it, why don't we view the rest of it as the ready fuel for the fire, and then taking that away is going to be considered mechabe, right? So at least there is some level of chiddush here, right? So clearly we're going to have to say, oh, here, right, I'm simply preventing it from catching on fire. Right? This is some sort of it will view it as distinct, as not yet on fire, not yet part of the conflagration, as opposed to an oil lamp where the oil is, let's say, part of the, right, it's part of the fire, it's part of the system. And here, and there you're taking something away, as opposed to you have something that hasn't caught fire yet. Okay? Right, but basically you have to say, oh, you know, these are two, one, there's are two objects, there's one object, there's one system, these are two, you know, two different things. That one is, the system is on fire. It's an oil lamp. It has oil, right? The fuel and the flame are one unit. So taking away the fuel is limiting the fire or, right, the conflagration. As opposed to here where part of the object is on fire. The other part is not on fire. So mamila, right, preventing that from catching fire is okay because it's not on fire yet. As opposed to the oil, which we already view as part of the fire. That's what we'd have to say. But already, right, that becomes... that just sort of shows how difficult it is to draw lines here, right? Because here we're saying, right, oh, it's fine. Over here, but by Beitza, we said, if it's an oil lamp, right, mistapek, hanoto menu v'ochel, chayv mishu mechabe, v'kivu b'yom tov lo estri, right? It was yantif happens to be, right? He says, oh, lava datai, and like, you're right, it would be totally awesome, okay? So just sort of off the bat, we already have like certain, like these cases, which sort of, hit the opposite sort of sides of our head. One says, oh, if you have fuel, but it's not on fire yet, you can remove it. The other says, of course you can't remove fuel. Right? You could prevent something, though, from catching fire. Okay? So in some way, one is taking away and the other is preventative. And okay, that's already our first issue. The next thing in the Gemara, right, is that Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav. Oh, sorry. The next thing in the Mishnah. Okay, so this is the next case. And you're seeing we have a lot of cases, and we're going to have to try to figure out how to make them all fit with each other. Usin mechitza bechoha kelim. Okay, here, right, you're not using just like a fire blanket. What you're doing is you're actually making a mechitza of kelim, bein malei and bein mirkanim. Okay, so if they're empty, seems like it's very similar to the idea of the fire blanket, right? Bishvil shelo tavor hadleika. Because you want to prevent it from passing. Rabbi Yossi oser b'kli charas chadash malei and mayim. Rabbi Yossi says you can't use earthenware jugs filled with water. They won't be able to survive the heat. And if you can't handle the heat, then you're over on Gram Kiboy. V'hin mitbakin u'mechabin es adleika. They will crack and put out the fire. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Okay, so one second, let's just do that case. That case, right, you have something where you can argue, right, did you do anything to the fire when you put it down? Presumably, we're going to say no, right? On the other hand, did something happen at the end of the day? Definitely yes, right? Is there like a end result? Right? There's definitely an end result, because when they've cracked, what happens? What happens when a water balloon cracks and splashes water all over a fire? What do we call that? Yeah. That's mechabe, right? So there definitely is a result of a malacha, and the question is, did you do it? Are you responsible for having performed that malacha? Okay, so already, yeah.
It was at this point that Ari and I decided that maybe a time delay would also come into play with these kinds of cases. Because it's not an immediate.
Yeah.
That was what we have. That maybe if the result is not immediate, then or if the action is not does not happen immediately, then there's room to be lenient.
Okay, very good. Right. So the question is like, what's the factor? What really matters here when it comes to Grum? Right. So again, what do I want to do? I want to do with Grum is figure out a few different things and. I want to know, like, what really matters, okay? And one of the things that we can do is we can ask two things. One is, you know, why is it that grandma's going to be potter, right? What about grandma potters you, okay? So why is it going to be potter, right? And the other question is, right, what defines it? Okay, and those two are going to be sort of the key questions that we keep balancing between them, right? Why are you going to be putter on grandma? What says that grandma is putter? And the other question is, right, what if in a certain case, what am I looking for to do it? So one option, right, is to say time delay. Okay, right, there's a time delay. I do the action, the result only pops in a while. Maybe that will really make a difference, okay? Now, why should it or should it not make a difference? Why would you not think time delays matter? Yeah.
Well, we know that, like, there's basically, like, two parts of, like, a malacha. There's, like, the masa and the totsah. So if there's some sort of chiluk between the two and the maaseh doesn't immediately bring a totsah, then maybe you could say that they're not connected inherently.
Oh, okay, right. So you could say, right, it sort of, right, let's, you know, it's menatik. So you're saying it would be like menat. Okay, would you make that a problem in the maaseh or in your responsibility, or the maaseh's like responsibility for it?
I'm not sure I understand exactly the responsibility for it category, but I would say it's not in the maase itself. It's in the connection of the maase to the eventual result.
Okay.
That there's sort of chisaron there.
Right. All right. That's a sharper formulation of what I was saying about, like, the responsibility. You did this maase, right? But this maase doesn't bear responsibility for the totsah because they didn't happen together, right? So I can say if there's a time delay, right, then What else could I say? I could also say that their Maisa isn't a Maisa X if there's a time delay between it and the Totsah, right? If I do the Maisa, but the Maisa doesn't lead to whatever it's supposed to be, then I didn't really do that, then there's no Maisa. Or I could say there was a Maisa, right? But the Totsah never happened. I bet it did happen. Yeah, but it happened later, so it doesn't count, right? For example, if I put food in the oven, it's like a general case. Right? I put food in the oven. It never gets cooked, right? I put it in the oven, but that second, right, as I put it in, right, the oven gets turned off, and the wind comes and blows away all the heat, so it's totally just, it's freezing cold inside there. So I put it in the oven. The oven was hot when I was putting it in, right, which should be a Maisa Bishul, right? But no Bishul happened, right? So I did the, some sort of Maisa, right? But the Maisa never created a Totsah. So in Echanami, I did the Maisa, but I'm not, no Totsah happened. Or, right, that's what you say, okay. So let's say it did get cooked eventually, right? I don't know, spontaneous combustion occurred and it got cooked, right? Okay, but my Maisa didn't do that. Right? So the fact that there's a time delay basically says, okay, anytime if I did something, then it only counts as having done something and there being a Totsah if that Totsah happens right away. If there's no Totsah, then the Maisa, I did the Maisa, but I'm not chayav for it because it's irrelevant, right? So we can say, right? Right? Ki'ilu no Totsah, let's say. Right? I could say in Maisa. Okay, what? How can I bump up the responsibility to a sort of lower level? I don't want to say lower level. But like,
it wasn't your koach.
Okay, what do you mean by that, though?
What?
Well, okay, what would you mean by that? Wait, in terms of time delay or in terms of... Why would that matter if it's not your koach, if it's the time delay?
It's not
he's
a time
jumping
delay.
Ahead I'm to jumping the next...
Okay, you want to say it's not... Okay, fine. I'll put that on the board, right?
We don't have to go to the next one.
Okay, fine, we'll get that later, but it's in time delay. How could you bump it up one more level? Yeah, Eliana? Oh, no, okay, fine. I thought it was a hand raise. So I think you can also do is say, if there's a time delay, similarly to what we can do with your Maisa, I can do the same thing just about your personal responsibility, right? Like a little bit parallel to what we're saying by Davarshin Miskavein, right? You did the malacha. What?
It could have been stopped at any moment.
Okay, so you could write. You could say, "Oh, it could have been stopped, and therefore you're not responsible." Or even not entirely, be you know, going that practically, you could just say, "Right, you are only we'll only say you're chayef from malacha if you're mechaving for it, right? And you know it's going to happen." Here, it's not a question of you know it's going to happen. Right, but it doesn't happen together with your action. So just like if you're not sure it's going to happen, your pater. Maybe if you know it's going to happen, but it's not happening right away, we can sort of make it like a davar shein miskavein, right? And then we can go like in davar shein miskavein, is it no maisa? Or maybe no. The Torah said, don't do these actions right in an intentional way, or you're only responsible for what you do with intent. And therefore, it's as if it's similar to the idea of. If we could say, oh, right, you're not responsible for it because it didn't happen simultaneous with your action. So yeah, you're right. You did the action and it created the result. But since they didn't
happen, so hard.
What?
You have Zorea, you have Bishul, like all these things that are exactly what you're describing, and you're just gonna matter them?
No. But right, you're agreeing again. Right? Doesn't the Gemara in Baba Kama say that Zoreh is Brahma?
No, Zoreh, planting seeds, not Zoreh.
Oh, okay. Well, Zoreh also maybe in a Hanami. You could argue that Zoreh, you did Zoreh right away. Now, this is something we're going to come back to later, right? But certain malachos, you could argue, like Zoreh. Are Zoreh Brahma? Is Bishul Brahma? So some people say, oh, yeah, so there's that, right, getting to the Zoreh question. It could be, yeah, in a Hanami, it's like Grama, but it's Grama that you're chayav on because the Torah says you can't do Bishul, you can't do Zoreh, right? You could also argue, and this is what I'm a big proponent of, What is the malacha of Zorea?
Setting up the circumstances.
Planting, right?
Yeah.
Planting is not the same as the moment when it roots. Right? You plant it and then it roots later. But the malacha is not to get it to root, right? The malacha is planting. The action of planting you did biyadayim, not bigrama. Right? You can say, I think this is what the Rosh is saying about Zoreh as well. You did Zoreh, right? Zoreh is the action of separating the chaff using the wind. You didn't do that bigrama, you did that biyadayim, right? If the question is, did you separate the chaff from the other stuff, biyadayim, or using the wind? The answer is using the wind. Did you do the malacha of Zoreh? Is yes, you did that biyadayim. Yeah, Gabriel.
But nobody's going to argue that putting food in the oven is the malacha of Bishul.
Why not?
I guess, if it doesn't get cooked.
Obviously, you needed the totsah of Bishul in order to be chayiv, right? But again, right?
But like if
food edible in the sun is mutar lechatchila.
If the tree doesn't grow, couldn't you still argue that you're chayiv on Zoreh?
Maybe.
But, I don't think anyone would argue that with Bishul.
Maybe. I mean, the Gemara, right? That's the Gemara. We kind of skipped this Gemara. The Hedvik Pat Batanur, right? In a Hanami, we would argue that you'd be putter. But the Gemara, in the Gemara, it's not so clear whether if you take it out, do we say, Bishul never happened? Or do we say, if you take it out, you did Bishul, but you're like putter, but you sort of undid it. Right? There was no totsah, so you're not chayiv. I'm saying it's not so obvious to say that if the malacha is structured in a certain way, but you're only going to be chayiv if you have a totsah, doesn't mean that the maisa is what is the totsah, right? You might need the totsah in order to complete the malacha or to be chayiv for the malacha, but the actual maisa could be putting it in the oven, right? I don't think that's actually too difficult to argue. I actually kind of do argue it. There's a whole Eglei Tal who goes about Zorel, if you plant it, if you put the seeds down and then you pick them up, are you chayiv? He's really mapalpal. He's like, really, wait a second, but when do the roots come out? 3 days later, that's already Tuesday, right? So you threw them on the ground on Shabbos, but the roots came out on Tuesday. So why are you chayiv? There's no tzotzah on Shabbos, right? If you threw them and then you picked them up on Sunday, are you chayiv? You put seeds in a hole in the ground on Shabbos, that's the malacha of Zoreh, and then on Sunday you pick them up before they rooted. Are you pater? Are you not? What do you do? So Eglei Tal has a huge pilpul about that, and he goes back and forth. So I think the answer is yeah, you could. That's a really good question. It's not obvious which way it goes, right? I feel like your gut feeling is wait a second, right? If there's no totsah, then how can that be the malacha? The answer is yeah. Right, the Maisa might be the Maisa, and just like with Bishul and Zoreah, right, where the Totsah might be necessary, but it's not actually the definition of what the Maisa Malacha is. Okay, so you could just say if there's a time delay, this is much more technical, but you could say just technically if there's a time delay, so the Torah says, right, don't do Melacha, so if it's Arshin Miskavein, you're Pater, just like Safik Daraisa might be Pater, so if there's a time delay, right, that just sort of might take you from the malacha and say time delay is right take achrayut. Okay, so one way to look at this whole question, right, this is a lot similar to Dabrashin Miskavi, right, in terms of the different directions, right? Obviously we're not saying copy paste in terms of the content. But we're saying, just like we had this sort of similar question of responsibility, your responsibility, your actions responsibility, whether you consider this the Maisa, whether you did the Maisa, but whether you're responsible for the Totsah, that's very much that's all within the idea of Malachas Machshavas, right? Yeah, everyone get that? Right, meaning all of these or at least the way we've been presenting it right now, is playing within the ballpark of Melechas Machshavas Asra Torah. So just like Darshan and Miskavin's Pater, Brahma is sort of like a non-Melechas Machshavas, okay? It's like a similar idea of it's not, you know, really your direct, precise, intentional action. So maybe we can sort of separate it from you or from your Maisa or from the Totsa. The idea of not your Koach, okay, is a much more Grumma-specific question, right? What we're trying to do is say you didn't do this, there's no Maisa, or you didn't do this Maisa, right? We're trying to say that it happened by itself, essentially, right? So when we say that there's no responsibility if it's not your koach, we're not saying because in a technical sense, right, your Torah is only mechayv you if you're mechavin, right, or if you do it right, if it happens right away. Or the Torah is, or your Maisa is only considered to be the Maisa if there's no time delay. We're arguing that physically, right, it's as if it happened by itself. Okay? So this is a much more legal argument, right? This is very legal. Right? Here we're just saying, oh, legally speaking, if there's a time delay, maybe it's grumma. If we say not your koach, we're arguing that physically there's something distinct here, right? Right? In terms of what you've done, it's not your koach, so it's, you didn't do it, right? You can argue no one did it. It wasn't even done. It just happened by itself. Circumstances were set up such that it could happen by itself, right? But mistakes were made, but nobody, you know, nobody did it. So at the end of the day, we're arguing that maybe there was no malacha, not because legally there's no malacha, but actually there's no malacha. Okay? Now, again, right, it's going to be hard, though, to define when do we consider something to be our koach, when do we not, when do we say, oh, you did it, when do we say, oh, you really didn't do it at all, you didn't do anything. Okay? Now, the question is, within not your koach, A, how are we going to define it, right? And B, you know, what sort of what, like what level, in terms of within what level? And B is, again, like why is it the fact that it's not your koach going to be poter? Although it's much easier to explain this, right? Why should it be poter is because, what do you mean? You didn't do anything. If I cover the second half of the burning bench so it doesn't catch fire, so it didn't catch fire, right? If the barrels burst, who made the barrels burst? The fire made the barrels burst. I didn't do anything. So the fire put itself out. Okay, let's still have the fire, but not, right, not me. Yeah. All right.
Could you also make a sort of quasi not your koach argument, but more from a legal perspective, that it was like your passive koach sort of thing, and then the Torah only makes you chayav if you do like the malacha actively, as opposed to doing passively, which you wouldn't be able to be chayav for.
Yeah, absolutely. You can definitely you could. You could say, well, at the end of the day, it's still, you know, your koach on some level, but, right, the Torah said you're not chayav because, right, you're only chayav if you do the malacha and you do it directly, right? Definitely possible. The only thing is that it's much, you don't have to make so many illegal arguments in this camp, right? I mean, you're right, but you don't even need to, you know, really prove that to me as much. Over here, you need proof to me why legally we should consider you to have not done it, right? Or consider it not happen. Over here, you can argue to me without even bringing me makoros, right? I mean, you don't need to prove to me that grumma is okay to say that I covered up the burning bench, now it's fine. Right? When it comes within the, it's not your koach. I mean, this is an argument from logic, this is an argument from law. Right? So you're right, and definitely in terms of some of the cases where you'll say, oh, it's like Korach HaChemer Urav, blah, 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 you know, all these different madrigals, which we'll talk about, you could say, well, really, you did do it, but, you know, legally, we're going to consider it not your Koach, where the legal side will definitely come into it. But as like a whole camp, it's much more based on that basic logic. Yeah, I'm done.
I think you can legalize the not your Koach side by talking about Malach HaMachshevet and saying, like, you didn't apply your koach in the most direct way, right?
Yeah, you could. I'm just saying you don't have to.
Okay.
I mean, it speaks for itself. I mean, the thing about here, it's like, you have to go in like a quasi, right? Melechet Machsheva direction. Okay? Now, just like as a side point, why is that a bit of a problem? Why am I treating that as a problem?
Sorry, what problem?
I'm treating the fact that it's a quasi Melechet Machsheva argument as like a bit of a problem. Not a problem, but it's like a little bit of a problem. Yeah, Gabriel.
I guess because we know in certain cases like Psikaresha that you are Chayav.
Okay, but that's fine. I mean, that's, you know, that there, those cases we're arguing that like it's not, you know, it is Melechet Machsheves. It is direct Asiya. It is Vat, you know, that's not, I don't think that's so
problem. So, but maybe you can make the argument here that just because it's a time delay, it's still not, you know, right, it's okay. Still easier.
Yeah, you could say, oh, Psikaresha happens right away. This, right, even though it definitely happens, but it happens in the future, so that's okay. I think it's not so, you could ask it, but I don't think that's not inherently a problem. So two problems. One is the Gemara gives us a makor, right? The Gemara here says, where is it? Here. Okay, here we go, right? Ihachi hachana miksiv lo ta'ase kol melacha asiya hu da'aser grama shari. Okay? The Torah says, right? Lo ta'ase kol melacha ata vin chvitecha. Lo tase kol melacha, asiya is aser, but grama is shari. Right? Where do we learn melechas machsheves from? From melechas machsheves, right? So it's a bit of a problem because this, the physical side, right, is like, you know, asiya hu da aser, and this is not like asiya, right? That's really our argument here. As opposed to here, we're arguing that it's not Melechas Machsheves, but here we're saying, no, it's not Melechas Machsheves, it's a separate limud from a separate pasuk, that lo tasa malacha asiya is aser, right? It's a physical requirement that you can't do malacha, this is not doing, as opposed to Melechas Machsheves, which says malacha needs to be done in a thought-out way. Adaraba, right, the Gemara in Baba Kama said what? The Gemara in Baba Kama throws us, a big curveball, because the Gemara in Baba Kama said, if you have a fire and the fire blows it from one side, and you're blowing from the other, then you're potter. Okay, if the fire blows it and you're also blowing it, and you guys do it together, you're going to be potter. Okay, why? Let's just skip straight to Rav Ashi. So Rav Ashi explains what's the case. So the Gemara asks the question. I don't get it. Right? It's a case of Zore. In Shabbos, I throw the chaff and the kernels up in the air. The wind blows away the chaff. That is exactly right. I do half of the labor. The wind does the other half. Together, we do the complete job. I'm harnessing the wind to accomplish something. And I'm chayiv. Isn't this the same thing? Right? I take a fire out and I use the wind in order to fan the flames. Right? So Reb Zeira, so why are they different? Why is by Shabbos we're chayiv and here we're pater? So everyone gives, they give different answers. Reb Ashi Amar, so hani mili linyan Shabbos? Why? The meleches machsheves asra Torah. Aval hocha grama bi'amahu grama mezikin pater. Right? If it's meleches machsheves, then it's aser, even though it's grama. But here, grama's pater. Right? Now, obviously, you can read this Gemara in different ways. because you can't say that grandma is always putter, is always going to be chayav in Shabbos, because we know that it's putter, right? But this is a huge stira, because the Gemara here said, Zore v'ruach mesayaso is grandma, but you're chayav because malachas machsheves, and that's mamish malachas machsheves, right? You thought of a clever way to do it, you did it, that's, you know, a thought out way to do the malacha, it's a constructive way of doing the malacha, that's Zore, right? Because malachas machsheves, and but by nezikin you're putter on grama, right? So it's just sort of to say, oh, we're learning it out from malachas machsheves that you're putter by grama is kind of funny, because the Gemara Dafka says there's a case of grama where you're chayiv by Shabbos because of malachas machsheves, right? Normally malachas machsheves is a kula. It says, oh, unless you do it mamish malachas machsheves, you're putter. Here the Gemara Baba Kama says you have malachas machsheves, and since it's a malachas machsheves, right? It's a constructive, productive way of doing the malacha, you're chayiv, even though it's done by grama, right? So obviously different rishonim, you have to deal with this stira, because that Gemara seems to say that grama's chayiv, but we know that grama's pater, right? Somehow you have to split between zore and other cases, right? And the case of mechabe, but it gives us a real doozy. It also gives us a little bit of a trouble with saying that the time delay is necessarily, or this class of argument, the legal argument, is a little bit more difficult if it's really about asiya hudasir and not as opposed to malachas machabes, right? Because the asiya hudasir is a physical argument. Doing is asir. This is not really considered doing. Okay, but that's it. So wait, why would you be pater? Why are we going to pater you on malachas machshavas? On grama. What do you guys, right? So one option is a form of, right, we can say, oh, like, there's no, you're not responsible for it, right? We can say, oh, your maisa is chaser. We can say that there's a netek between the totsa and you and the maisa, right? Right? Or we could say physically, you didn't do anything, right? Right. One is we can make more legal arguments, right? We can say, well, you're putter because, right, legally, right, not responsible. Or connected. Right? It's a legal argument. Or I could say physically. This marker is dying. Physically detached. Okay? So physically, I'm detached. And therefore, it's as if I didn't do it. It's as if it didn't happen. There's no, not koho. Right? Or I could say, or sort of within the legal camp, I can say what? Maybe I could really bring in sort of the Davarshein of Iskavin idea. Right? Maybe I can really say, oh, look, I did A and B ended up happening. Okay, but it happened, fine. But like, I was doing A. Right? Now that's within the legal approach and say, oh, maybe it's like really like a Davarshein of Iskavin. Yeah. All right.
Isn't it kind of dangerous to compare it to Davarshein u'Mitkaven, because at least we think that grama now is like across the board. Everyone says it's putter and probably even mutter. And Davarshein u'Mitkaven is, there's a machloket, and even so, probably the chatchila, everybody says it's aser.
No, well, Davarshein u'Mitkaven, if it's not a psik ratio, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's mutter lechatchila. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's only aser lechatchila, but it's putter.
Davarshein u'Mitkaven. Then my first point about the machloket only. Disregard the other.
Right.
But
the psik ratio passed us. So, but I think maybe you could say, bimkom the psik ratio, put in the time delay. And we'll get into that a little bit more, but, right, meaning you could go in the legal camp, you could even say, right, well, he'll just say, like, oh, it's the level of kavana is lacking, right? Meaning we could say, no, it's not only legally there's a difference, physically there's a difference, you could even say practically, right, your level of kavana is different when it happens with grama, Your level of intent and thoughtfulness is lacking. And then, when would we make an exception and be mechayiv you on grama? When would we make an exception and say you're chayiv?
When you have special intention.
Right. Right? When it's an absolutely perfect, you know, manifestation of your intention, such as Zoreh, Melechus Mashevas, right? Right? If it's... Right? If it's your absolute intent, or let's see, slash action, it would be chayiv, right? And that would exactly be Zoreh, right? It's chayiv because malachas machshavas. It is the most perfect malachas machshavas. Okay? So just that crazy extreme, just to like put that into actual, that's one total like extreme, to say, actually this is real kavana. If you have real intent, you actually can
hide the problem. Okay? Now, here's a question. And then I can physically distinguish between Zoreh and other laws. Right?
Are you guys, am I frozen?
No, there was something wrong with your audio. It might have, I don't know if it was you or us.
Here I can say Zoreh. That Zoreh is fundamentally Melechus Machshavas, right? As opposed to according to here, I need to come up with a legal distinction between Zoreh and the other cases, okay? Okay, fine. Great. Now let's go back to the Gemara. Okay, so far we have a few different cases, right? We have the case of, let's in Baba Kama, right? We have Zoreh. Zoreh is Kanireh, not Grama. Right? Or an exception to grama. The case of the fire is grama, right? Setting a fire, we know, is considered what? Is considered giri didei. It's like shooting an arrow. So we consider that setting a fire, though, if you actually set the fire via daim, even if it travels and spreads, is not grama, right? It's only because here, because the fire was created partially by the wind. If you made a fire and the fire spread, then you're chayiv, right? So that's not grama. Okay, so setting a fire is not grama. A fire that you help the wind create is grama. Zoreh is either not grama or an exception. Okay, Melechus Machshavas points out Rashi, just like a little bit of a diak in Rashi, Niskaima Machshavto D'nichalei Beruach Misayasa. Right? Why? Are you chayiv by Zoreh? Because it's melechas machshavas, that is gufa the kiyum of your machshava. Right? So Rashi and Baba Kama sounds a little bit like this, right? That it's mamash your intent, your action, and therefore this kind of machshavta, and you're chayiv. Right? Which again brings us to the idea in general by melechas Shabbos, that your intent is a key component of what's going on. Okay, just like another case in that comes up in Sanhedrin. So Amar Papa, Hai man de katve lechavre, you tied up your friend, not a good thing to do. Vashakil alei bitko demaya, and you set upon him a deluge. Okay, you open up the dam. Right, you know, right on top of him. Geiri didehu, those are your arrows. It's like shooting an arrow at him. Umechayv. But hanimi li bekoach rishon. That's only the first gush of water. Aval bekoach sheni, the second force. Grama bi'almahu. V'amar apapa zark tzvar l'mal. If you throw a rock up, v'hochel etzadim v'harga chayv. If it falls to the sides a little bit, you're chayv. But if it goes straight down, then you'd be pater. Why? As Rashi points and says, oh, if it falls straight down, you threw it up, all your energy is spent, Now gravity takes over and pulls the tree down and kills him. But you didn't. You caused gravity to drop it on him, but you actually didn't throw it. As opposed to if it goes a little bit to the side, so some of your koach is still there, right? And therefore you're going to be chayiv. But if it falls straight down, then you're patur because you caused gravity to come to affect it to cause it to come straight down. Right? So that's so the first case, right? You have this dam, you open the dam, and it spills out, you're chayiv. Okay? If you do it and it's so the first gush, koach rishon is chayiv, koach sheni is patur, is grum. Right? How do you define those two concepts? So Rashi here says, okay, Rashi emphasizes that it comes on him right away. He's right, he put it close by. Sounds like from Rashi that the guy's on underneath the dam. Okay, here's the dam. You put the guy right here, so that when you open up the dam, then the water falls right on it. It doesn't hit the floor and then flow, right? It goes straight on top of it. Why is that important? Right? How's Rashi defining it?
I think it's like the direct motion or action, like right after your action. So even though it's not your koach, it still has some directness.
Okay. What sort of, I mean, there's a word that he keeps throwing in there, which I want to dive in.
Oh, miyad.
Miyad, right? Rashi keeps emphasizing, right, that, Rashi keeps emphasizing that it happens miyad, right? If it happens miyad, then it's grum, not grumma. If it happens not miyad, then it's grum. Rashi in Sanhedrin, right, says miyad. If it happens right away, then it's not grumma. If there's a time delay, then it's grum. So it happens to be the relationship between this Rashi and this Rashi. On the one hand, they sort of are associated each other, right? Because here he's saying, oh, it's a question of, is this machshavto, right? On the other hand, Rashi's saying, well, at least when it comes to Shabbos, so if it happens, I think also by Zora, right? Zora happens miyad, right? And it's machshavto. The idea is, it's more of a kavana legal issue. And since it's a kavana legal issue, we can define it based on the immediacy of your action, right? It's a question of niskama machshavto. If your machshavto only ends up happening later on, if there's a time delay, so we'll say, oh, like in terms of the machshava, in terms of the kavana, you intended to do it, but it's not entirely like a real malacha that you are legally responsible for, right? Which is why I think Rashi can say these two things. Rashi in Bava Kamma says niskama machshavto makes it not grama. Here he's saying it has to happen right away in order for it not to be grama, right? Because the time delay legally is menatik between your maisa and the totsa, right? Okay, now I think that's sort of like the extreme of Rashi. I'm just going to bring in a shulti gibore. No, I'm not going to actually. I'm just going to do one last thing in the Gemara. Okay, so this is koach rishon, koach sheni, removing the dam. Right, sounds like we'll call that hasaras monea. You have a dam, right? You're moving the dam, which is releasing a force that already exists. Is that going to be right? So I guess koach rishon there is not going to be considered pater, right? But is, you know, let's say the flow of water that comes after that,
could you consider that to be grama, right? So it's not the first gush that hits him directly, right? But then water comes and flows on him. Is that going to be grama or not? Okay, one more Gemara. We'll continue this next time, so I don't want to rush it too much.
But just to like put it all in context, like even within the idea of time delay, within the idea of Kalana, right, we say, oh, legally there's some sort of, right, the time delay, the lack of it being the normal way of doing it even could make a difference. In the physical department, what are the important factors? What do I care about? Right? So there's koach rishon. There's ma'aseh b'yadayim, which is why I do something physically, right? There are different levels, right? Ma'aseh b'yadayim. There's koach rishon. There's, let's say, hasaras moneya. Oh, you know what? Let's call it koach acher me'urabo, where you have a force, right, which you're then taking advantage of. Let's say the dam, right? You open up the dam. You didn't put the dam there, right? But you're taking advantage. The dam's force exists, and you're directing it at someone. Okay, so koach acher me'urabo. Maybe even zora is that, right? The wind is already blowing. And you're taking advantage of the wind and using it to accomplish something, right? You're harnessing a second force. Hasaras moneya, where there's something that's stopping something from happening.
And you remove it, okay? Let's say you
remove the blanket that was protecting the bench. Okay, you have the bench, it's on fire. There's a blanket on one half, and you remove the blanket. Okay? Is that going to be grama, or is that ma'isi b'adayim? What about that? And finally, there's the idea of, right, koach sheni. Okay? Koach sheni says, oh, right, I do action A, right? I put in some force. My force is done,
right? I destroyed the dam, right? That's fine.
Now, and then more water comes, or another wave comes and overflows. That's koach sheni. Okay, that's like a
secondary result. Event would be
right. That's pasha. That is grama. Okay, but what defines a koach sheni as a koach sheni? Right? Is it because it was time delayed or no? Right? There's some sort of. There are two separate forces. In the case of the fire and the barrels, what would I argue? So I'd put that all the way down here. Why? I put the barrels down. What happened?
It sat there.
Right, it sat there. My koach is gone. Then the fire comes, which is a koach sheni, and busts the barrels. Right? So there, right, there's like a complete netek between the two forces. I input some sort of force. I'm done. I leave.
Right? Comes in acts upon the results of my taking
my own. Right? Oh, one second. I wanted to put in koach koko. Koach koko, bipashtos. What is koach koko? When you create a chain reaction. Right? Koach koko, I would argue, bepashtos is, I would be noted to say that you're chayav, right? I start a chain reaction. It's a Rube Goldberg machine, maybe. But then the day, right? A knocks over. It's a domino. It's dominoes, right? This is dominoes. Koach koko is dominoes, let's say. Let's make it blue again. I'll make it black, okay? This is dominoes. I would say dominoes should definitely be chayiv, right? Because it's at the end of the day, it's basically all koach rishon. It's all your koach. Because your koach then, right, pushed into another koach, which pushed into another koach, but it's all really your koach. It's koach koko. It's an extension of you. As opposed to, right, let's say koach acher me'urav bo, I'm using a different force. There's another force that exists, but I'm harnessing it, right? Harnessing another force. Right, but it's around. I'm interacting with it and harnessing it. Okay, hasaras moneya is I'm allowing something to now go and do what it's already trying to do. I would say that's sort of like taking away the fire blanket from the bench that's already on partially on fire, right? And finally, Kaushini, where I'm saying there's a totally distinct force that goes into effect, right, without ever interacting with my original koch, right? My koch is done. I left the picture, and now something comes and does something. Okay, so what we're gonna do is we're gonna try to apply these concepts and these categories to all the cases that we see in the Gemara. We're gonna continue with Kuf Chaf, and we're gonna continue with the different Gemaras. And try to say, right, the case of the dam, the case of the oil lamp, the case of let's say the talus, right, of shaking the talus when it's already on fire, but putting it on, putting water on. All these cases, can we come up with some sort of common denominator, right? Because in each one, I feel like, you know, you try to go with one way and then it flips you in the other direction. So we're going to try to see if we can come up with a clear definition of what makes something grama and sort of categorizing and understanding each one of these cases. So we're going to continue with these Gemaras, and then we're going to go into the Rishonim and figure out how they understood them.